I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, she designed for the Rockefellers and the Kennedys. So why do so few people know her name? We tell her story in our Wisdom Watch conversation. That's next. But first, it's time for our monthly visit with the magazine mavens, editors of some of the country's top magazines. Today, we highlight the month of October and take a look at women who inspire breast cancer awareness, and I'm sorry, we can't help it. We're going to get the 411 on the high-profile breakup of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs and longtime girlfriend Kim Porter. Joining us to talk about all this are Anitha Malik, the editor-in-chief of East West Magazine, Kathy Arayu, editor-in-chief of Catalina Magazine, and Angela Burt Murray, editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. Ladies, mavens, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
Let's start with the power players, and I'm fascinated with this because Forbes magazine last month did its survey of the world's most powerful 100 women. And I noticed the two of you have also done features this month on women of influence. So, Angela, let's start with you. Essence features 11 women you consider influential. You've got C. Vivian Stringer, the coach of the women's basketball team at Rutgers, Ursula Burns, president of Xerox, a Fortune 500 company. She's in line to become perhaps the first African-American female CEO of a Fortune 500
very
company.
Exciting.
It's a diverse group. So tell me why all these particular women were picked. What do they have in common?
Well, what we wanted to do this month, in essence, is look at different forms of power, getting away from the traditional sense of somebody who's driving a significant business, but also looking at people who have the ability to impact change. So specifically, when you look at somebody like a C. Vivian Stringer, the Rutgers basketball coach, she was thrust into the spotlight this year with the remarks made by Don Imus, and she was able, through her graceful presence and the words that she spoke, she was able to spark incredible change, and she galvanized the country around a very important issue. So that is certainly as powerful as what Ursula Burns is doing as the president of Xerox and being in line to lead that company.
Are you trying to spotlight people who you think should have gotten more attention than they have, or are you trying to showcase folks to the readership who they may not be familiar with? Because certainly if you're in the business world, you know an Ursula Burns. If you're in sports, particularly women's sports, you know Vivian Stringer.
Absolutely. I think it's twofold. For 37 years, Essence has been around to celebrate, inspire, and empower African-American women. So we take it as part of our mission to make sure that we're highlighting Black women who are doing things that we know our readers not only want to learn about, but also get inspired by their stories.
And speaking of inspiring women, Kathy, your magazine offers a feature on inspiring women. Your selections were reader-generated as part of Hispanic Heritage Month. Interesting choice. Why did you turn it over to the readers instead of doing it yourselves, taking the power?
We've actually always turned it over to the readers. This is our sixth annual groundbreaking Latinas list, and we ask our readers year-long to submit nominations for Latinas who are groundbreakers. And our readers submit their nominations from around the country, and we have supplied a list here of 20 groundbreaking Latinas, and it goes all the way from Latinas entrepreneurs to actresses to journalists. So we think our readers have their fingers on the pulse of what's going on out there.
I want to move on and talk a little bit about health issues. Anitha, you are planning a breast cancer feature. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And I also, Kathy and Angela also have breast cancer features in their magazines this month. So clearly this is an important topic to all of you. So Anitha, why don't you start and tell me about what you're planning?
Traditionally with the Asian American community, it's definitely a very sensitive subject. Culturally, women aren't encouraged, and it's not really discussed in the older generations that, you know, you need to go and be screened. So year after year, we've really covered that, the basics about breast cancer. But what we're doing this year is taking it a step further and looking at breast reconstructive surgery. So for women that have gone through this and have had to have mastectomies, a greater portion of Asian American women are not opting for reconstructive surgery. And what we found out is that it's partly because the surgeons aren't really suggesting it. And so Asian American women themselves aren't asking the question, whereas more Caucasian women will ask, say, you know, I would like to have this procedure. Let's get into it. Well, how do you do this? And we think it's basically, there's no hard facts on this, but basically because of the cultural norm that, you know, this is something that's vain. This is something that's slightly still taboo to the culture. So we're trying to really encourage women that, you know, this is for your own self, and put it out there in a very non-threatening way.
And Angela, you also have a big push on breast cancer awareness this month. Why is that important?
Raising awareness for Breast Cancer Month, what we wanted to do is to let the African-American community know that breast cancer is not a death sentence. But unfortunately, when you look at African-American women, we have the same incidence rate as women in the general population and other groups, but we're more likely to die because we're less likely to be screened and to have the treatment that's necessary to survive. So what we wanted to do was highlight four extraordinary survivors who were impacted by breast cancers at different stages of their lives and went on to beat it. You can get help, you must get screened, and you must seek treatment, but you can go on to live, you know, a full and wonderful life.
Kathy, I want to talk about an issue feature in your magazine. It does pertain to the issue of women's health, but it's about violence against women in Mexico. And you've got a feature story about a campaign to toughen the laws in Mexico to protect women against violence and abuse. Federal prosecutors quoted in the piece as saying 75% of women murdered in Mexico die at the hands of their husbands. And you also talked about the ongoing problem of the murders in Ciudad Juarez. Your magazine is aimed at American women or Latina women or women of Hispanic heritage in the United States. So why do you feel it's important to cover this issue south of the border?
We always try to focus on issues affecting Latinas south of the border, the Caribbean, just everywhere. I think it's so important in women's issues in general, even women in Europe, but all over the world. We need to know what's going on. We need to help. We need to be aware that there's a global fund for women. Things that happen south of the border, things that happen far away do affect us here. And we need to know what's happening in Juarez. And rumor has it that J-Lo is reuniting with her Selena director, Gregory Nava, to bring the Juarez story to the big screen. So soon, a lot more people will know about what's going on in Juarez.
Well, would you please, for people who are not aware, if you could just briefly encapsulate the story?
Well, finally, they passed a law, anti-violence for women in Juarez. So many women are getting hurt, raped, murdered in Juarez, and a lot of them are walking to work and getting hurt. So they need tougher laws to protect these women. They're providing for their families, their workers in their society. They're not just objects. These are citizens, and they need to be protected, and they just have been ignored for years. And finally, there's so many books being written about it and articles.
If I could just clarify for folks that it's hundreds of women are believed,
yes,
to have been murdered in and around the city of Juarez since 1993. Most of these are unsolved. Many of these women were murdered in a horrible, grisly fashion. You know, we've covered this story several times on this program. In fact, as you mentioned, that Teresa Rodriguez wrote a book called The Daughters of Juarez, who's, of course, a prominent anchor in, I think, at Univision.
Yes.
Right. And who has been covering the story for 10 years, and we've had her on the program several times to talk about this. So it's a very important story. It's the kind of story that's kind of hiding in plain sight, I think, for many Americans. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Anitha Malik, editor-in-chief of East West Magazine, Kathy Arreyu, editor-in-chief of Catalina Magazine, and Angela Burt Murray, editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. There are magazine mavens. Gotta switch gears. Have to talk about the celebrities. Have to.
You can't get away from that.
We can, but
they're everywhere.
It's like M&Ms at Halloween. You just have to have them, whether you want it or not. So
you want to know.
So Anitha, I'm going to just start with you. And you have on the cover of the August-September issue, Rio Mori, Miss Universe, on the cover. Why did you choose her for the cover?
You know, for us, it's kind of going back to what you're talking about, influential women. And when the Asian Americans are still not mainstream, and until that happens, I think that anytime someone achieves something like this, and especially in the beauty realm, to say that Rio Mori, as a Japanese woman, is the image of beauty, and as she is Miss Universe. So that was something that we wanted to applaud.
But I have to push back on this whole pageant thing, because I think a lot of people are very ambivalent about that. The whole idea that you're somehow powerful because you're beautiful is something that I think a lot of women are struggling with. And I think a lot of people think pageants are played out, frankly.
That was definitely a concern for us. But it's an interesting phenomenon in the Asian American community. Locally, in cities across America, pageantry has become a very big thing for the community. There's Asian American pageants everywhere you turn. And I think it's something that is, for that community in general, we're just starting to kind of explore that we are beautiful women. We're not just the stereotypes that are out there that, are, you know, you're you're a math genius or you're a science genius. So it's a little bit of a different thing compared to what I would say mainstream America looks at pageants.
Do the other ladies buy that? Come on, ladies. Oh, nobody.
No, I mean, although that feeling is out there.
Nobody thinks Asian women are beautiful.
No,
oh, come
no.
On.
And it's not that, but I think Asian women as themselves, for their own self-identity, we are just still exploring that part of it. It's never been, you know, go back in history and that's not what people looked at. For Asian Americans in general.
Madam Butterfly?
I think it's an interesting idea, though. Go ahead. When you talk about,
go ahead. Who is that?
It's Angela.
Angela. Mm-hmm.
When you think about women of color winning something that is designed to speak to what is the ideal beauty, mm-hmm. it makes more of a political statement, I think, than a fluff statement. So this woman winning the title is, you know, just as significant as when Vanessa Williams won the title of Miss America for the first time and what that meant to African Americans and what it meant to little black girls to see that this woman is beautiful, that this woman personifies the ideal, the idea of beauty. And of course, there's a talent component and, you know, these are not
great.
Just, you know, women who are, you know, just very pretty. It's not like she won, you know, the Miss Coppertone. Like, you know, these are women who are very, very accomplished. So,
And I must say that in Catalina, we did brag because we had the first Latina America's Next Top Model winner, Yasleen Gonzalez.
Oh.
And she did get 2 pages and we just bragged about it.
Right.
Okay.
Michelle is not convinced.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a math nerd. When put a fabulous math
we
nerd on your cover with some mm-hmm. fabulous boots, and then, you know.
I will do it.
We can
do that.
We can talk. It wouldn't be me, by the way. I could cover the boots part, but the math nerd, no. Angela, okay, we've waited long enough. We have to go there. We have to go there. Essence okay. profiled Kim Porter in her bow, mm-hmm. her bow of many years, Sean
yes.
Diddy Combs, in mm-hmm. December. They yes. were very much in love.
Yes, they were very much in love.
That's what they tell
twins.
Us. Expecting
yes.
twins. And now it appears that all was not well. All was
yes.
not well. And there's another piece in this issue mm-hmm. where it describes the fact that he was unfaithful to her while she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question arises is, do you think that they used the magazine for image making that wasn't quite accurate?
I think that at the time we did the first story in Essence in December, that Kim and Sean Diddy Combs were very genuine in their feelings for one another. I do not believe that Kim was aware at the time that we sat down to speak with her and photograph them. You know, this is a story about a woman who is trying to find herself. And after being in a high-profile relationship for 10 years, she's finally come to a point where she feels like, you know what, I need to step out on my own and, you know, find out what makes Kim happy and move beyond the relationship. And it's also a universal story that for, unfortunately, the African-American community has, you know, some significance. There's, you know, a large percentage of our community that's certainly struggling with similar issues. So I think that, you know, putting this story in the magazine is something that strikes a chord with our readership and hopefully allows people to take a look at their own relationships and figure out how they want to deal with them going forward.
Now, somebody gasped when we broke the news of the big breakup. Who was that?
That was me, Kathy.
You were shocked, right?
I was shocked. I didn't know.
You were so right. disappointed, right?
I didn't know.
You thought
right.
that wedding bells were in the offing. But Angela, the first piece that you did on the mm-hmm. Kim and Sean relationship, pretty controversial, actually. You got some
very
negative reaction from some folks. Mm-hmm. Some people appreciated it. Some people said, you know
others
what,
did
I
not.
Don't like what you're, they feel that you're either validating
right.
or glorifying
right.
relationships with children being had out of wedlock, mm-hmm. these long-standing relationships with persons in an unmarried state
sure.
where infidelity has clearly and very publicly been part of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to that?
I think that, again, going back to when you look at the African-American community, this is something that we're certainly grappling with on a day-to-day basis. You know, the reader is certainly familiar, but I completely understand the idea that, you know, to have someone on the Essence cover, you want that person to kind of demonstrate the best of who we are. And we did receive a tremendous amount of feedback on it, which let me know that people were talking about mm-hmm. it, people were engaged, and it was something that we needed to really explore.
Interesting. Sure. I wanted to ask the other ladies before we go, the other mavens before we go, if you've ever struggled with this issue of of personalities within the community who may be popular, may be iconographic, but whose personal behavior in one way is not exemplary in a way that you know, perhaps might cause some ambivalence about how you showcase that person. Is that ever a struggle for either of you, Kathy or Anita?
Well, we definitely try to focus on the positive. As a magazine for Latinas and about Latinas, it's definitely it's not our place to put down a fellow Latinas.
How about Latinos? How about fellow Latinos?
Those Latinos.
How about the husbands who are causing all this?
Those husbands.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not trying to be mean
we
to
the men.
We just
profile the nice guys.
Oh, okay. I do have to say, just in the spirit of fairness, that is, all domestic drama cannot be laid at the door of the man. But since it is a women's magazine, and if there is any stones to be thrown.
Yeah, we actually show the guys who are actually inspirational and doing the right thing. And I there was one story of one that I pulled because I didn't feel he was doing the right thing. And a little too much machismo came out, as is known in the Latino community. Mm-hmm. So, one story was pulled.
Tell.
No.
Initials?
I can't.
Initials?
I can't. Okay. Too well known. Too well known.
All the more reason. We'll get it out of her.
Over drinks. We'll discuss it over drinks.
A little mojito later, Kathy. We'll get it out.
Definitely.
Anita, what about you? Final word from you. Is it ever a struggle?
You know, it is. But I think we have a very similar approach to what Kathy's saying, is that it's really just we focus on the positive. We always try to spotlight the up-and-comers, whether male or female, and the people that are, again, balancing their careers with work. For the Asian American community, it's exploring new careers. So we try to find the positive. Every once in a while, there will be a controversial issue, and we will still cover those. And just like true journalists, just try to give both sides, and we'll do that because there's obviously a message in it. So we're trying to stay positive, but every once in a while, you're going to have to bring up some ugly stuff to get an important message out there.
Anita Malik is editor-in-chief of East West Magazine. She joined us from KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona. Kathy Arayu is the editor-in-chief of Catalina Magazine. And Angela Burt Murray is editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. And they both joined us from our New York Bureau. Ladies, mavens, thank you so much.
Thank you.